This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe on Bloomberg.
All right, that's a little better. A little swing out, sister. Let's go around the world when it comes to investing. And here to help us, we've got Colin Bell. He's Vice President of Global Emerging Market Equities at Auerbach Grayson. Colin, good to have you with us here in the studio.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Let's begin by talking about China. Hard landing, soft landing, or are we looking at a crash?
I think somewhere in the middle, actually, Pim. There's two parts to the slowdown in China, and it's important to kind of understand both of them. The first is politically motivated and is directed at the property market. Affordability in China has become an issue. That's important for the government. That's important for the mass population. And so that's been a direct measure from the government that has slowed the economy. The second one, and less discussed, is the natural kind of occurrence of any country that's going through economic development, and that's the middle income transition. And so China's at a point, roughly $5,500, you know, GDP per capita. They're at the point where they're getting on the steeper part of the S curve in consumption. And what happens naturally during this juncture is that economic growth slows down naturally. The economy moves gradually towards consumption, and a lot of the low value add manufacturing that drove the original growth becomes less competitive. And so it's really the combination of these two forces, I think, that's at work. One of them could be taken off if the government feels more stimulus or growth is needed. The other one is going to be hard to manage in a slower process. So I think we probably need to get used to a slightly slower growth rate, although, you know, one of the strongest in the world still.
How is the European crisis playing into this?
Well, the European crisis certainly doesn't help end demand by any measure. Since probably 2000, China has grown from, say, 25 to 28% of GDP being based on exports and reached a peak of about 40%. So in no way was it completely a Chinese phenomenon. European demand was a big part of it, and the slowdown in Europe certainly hurts their manufacturing and their export sector.
All right, so if you've got a slowdown in Europe, you've got a slowdown in some form or another in China, whether it's politically motivated or indeed also it is the natural occurrence of a burgeoning middle class. What do you do with your money?
Well, specific to emerging markets, which is what I've focused on for the last 10 years, you have to really focus on ignoring the indices, whether that's a country industry or indice or the MXEF. I think it's very important to start the conversation by more or less disregarding the indices. The MXEF, which is the benchmark for emerging market equities, is 25% financials. Another 25% is energy producers plus material manufacturers. And so that's before we even dig down any further, that's 50% of the index is essentially levered to global cyclical growth. And so once we ignore these indices, we have to look towards what businesses we want to own. And the businesses that we really want to own are consumer-driven businesses, are technology businesses, businesses that have shown secular revenue growth, are, you know, not capital intensive, are, you know, have a dominant market position, low government involvement, low leverage, high return on equity businesses, certainly higher than the cost of capital. Those are the businesses you need to target.
And when you're looking at specific countries, which is one to target in Asia?
I think the country you really want to target at this juncture would be the Philippines. The Philippines is by far, in my opinion, the best structural story in Asia. There's not many countries that are upgrading GDP figures. The Philippines have had to do it the last two quarters. So GDP grew 6.4% against expectations of 4.8% in Q1, and again, 5.9% versus expectations of 5.5% in Q2. So the major growth drivers there are not exports. 70% of the economy is already consumption-based. The drivers there of growth are remittances from abroad and service sectors, mainly, you know, BPO and other sort of service outsourcing sectors. And I don't think that's going away.
So we're speaking with Colin Bell, Vice President, Global Emerging Market Market Equities at Auerbach Grayson. Colin joins us in the studio. Colin, turn your attention now to Africa, specifically the oil-rich country of Nigeria. Is there a way for an investor to make money on the wealth that is in Nigeria?
I think so. In addition to the wealth, the demographics of Nigeria are very interesting. Very young population and very big population. Two things. Nigeria had a bit of a boom already. They had a banking crisis that followed the boom in 2007, 2008, and basically were flat on their back after that, with 25% of the banking system moving into NPLs. I think 3-4 years later, that is
NPLs?
Kind of—
NPLs? Explain what that is.
Sorry, non-performing loans. Okay. So 25% mm-hmm. of the loans in the banking system were not up to par. I think that a large part of that is settled out, and we're starting to recover from that. Bank lending is up again. In addition, the government is trying to take a lot of the onshore oil that's been discovered in the 70s and 80s by the multinational companies and resell it essentially to local players, basically in a use it or lose it framework. And if those onshore oil blocks, which have been stymied from lots of political problems and terrorist problems, if investment goes into that sector, I think that could lead to a lot of economic growth in Nigeria.
What about Kenya?
Kenya, similarly, we're talking about oil in Nigeria, but actually there's been a game changer in Kenya earlier in this year in March. Oil was actually discovered in Kenya. So we now have oil being discovered in Uganda, offshore Mozambique, and now onshore in Kenya. And I think that this oil wealth in Kenya could go a long way to creating economic growth for 5, 10, 15 years. And there's actually one company that I would point to that's right at the heart of this matter called Africa Oil. It's partnered with Tullow Oil. These are the two that were first to strike oil in Kenya. And, you know, Africa Oil is a company with 300,000 kilometers of land. They currently have 10 billion barrels of risked resources and 1 billion barrels of unrisked resources. As the drilling becomes more and more certain, these unrisked resources will be moved into risked resources, and risked resources will be moved into reserves. And through that process over the next 2 or 3 years, I think you'll have a lot of appreciation in the share price of that company.
All right, but having said that, how do they get the oil to market? I mean, it's one thing to get it out of the ground in a place like Nigeria, which has been pumping oil for many years and has an infrastructure to get it out and get it refined. What happens in a place like Kenya?
Well, you're right. That'll take it longer to get to market. Production in Kenya isn't expected for at least, you know, 3 years. So, but that's part of the beauty of it. There'll be a lot of infrastructure and investment that wasn't necessary or wasn't wanted in Kenya beforehand that now banks will have to lend to those projects. Workers will have to work on those projects and so on and so forth. And so I think that this development could add a huge amount of delta to the growth in Kenya overall.
I want to thank you very much for joining us, Colin Bell, Vice President, Global Emerging Market Equities, Auerbach Grayson.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.